think about what the Lord would have me do. And I was going to start off 2020 with the idea of doing something concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. And then since we just came off the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Romans, as I was seeking the Lord, I just felt impressed just to kind of continue going through the theme or the idea of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to entitle this series here, The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit, The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do is I want to take you into passages of Scripture that you don't always hear about. You know, one of the things that happened in churches, and you've heard me talk about it before, is that unfortunately the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, have been kind of sometimes this tenuous position in churches. You know, those that believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today and then those that are not. And obviously the Lord never intended for it to become that way, but unfortunately it has. And so, you know, we've talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gave you some things in Romans, and at some point we'll look at Corinthians as well. But there's more to the Holy Spirit than just his gifts. He's a person, and we'll get into that. As a matter of fact, we're told that he can be grieved. You know, so he he's part of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And so we'll get into those things, but I want to take a look at the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to take a look. Jesus gives us a deeper insight to the work and the purpose of the Holy Spirit here in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And so what I want to do this week and maybe part of next week is to try to help you get a better picture of the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. So it's not just the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there is so much more that he does and performs in us. And so that's what I want to do for the next few Sundays here as we take a deeper look into what he does. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, it says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Another translation will say comforter, and we're going to look at both of those. "That he may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And the "in you," when we get to it, is a very important point here that I will dwell on here later on as we get to that point. So Jesus is telling us the initial work, the promise of him coming, what his purpose is going to be. And first he says, I'm going to send to you another helper and another comforter. The word comforter and helper do not always just go together. There's different Greek meanings for the word comforter and different ones for helper, and that's what we're going to do. But let me kind of give you three generic things, and then we'll be more specific here in a second. Helper, comforter, it means parakletos. And if you've been around churches for years and years, you know that that's another Greek meaning for the word. But the helper, let me give this to you. It means to assist or to give aid, to be called to one side, to assist or to give aid, to be called to one side. It also means an advocate. In Romans chapter 8, we are told that the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, when you get into situations in life where they are so difficult and so overwhelming, and you don't even know how to pray, you don't even know what to say, and you begin to pray in the Spirit, or you begin to talk to the Lord, he says the Holy Spirit can pray through you and lift the needs and the burdens and all of these things unto the Lord. In Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also help us in our weaknesses or infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." In verse 27 of Romans, it says, "Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is." So I'm going to pause here as I'm reading this. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever brokenness you have gone through, whatever struggle you have experienced, the Spirit of God living and dwelling in you, He knows. He knows. Other people will not understand what you've been through. You can explain it to them, you can tell them what you've been through, and they might give you a sympathetic, wow, that's tough. But they don't know. But he says the Holy Spirit knows you so well that he can look and search into your heart. And with that searching and with that knowledge, he can actually offer up prayer, groanings, which cannot be uttered, and lifting all the things you've been through, all the things that have happened unto the Lord, and give those things to God. He says, because what? He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so what the Holy Spirit is doing, he's interceding for you. He is interceding for me. It's the idea of kind of stepping in and taking over. And he says, and look at what he's praying. He's not praying your will. He's not going to repeat to God the things that you want done. It says that he is making intercession for the saints, what? According to what? The will of God. He is interceding for us, and he is telling the Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. So that's how he is interceding. So he is one who intercedes. He's an advocate, an intercessor, which I had just read to you. The second thing that happens as comforter and helper is this. He leads us into a deeper knowledge of the truth of the gospel. He leads us into a deeper knowledge of the truth of the gospel. And I'm going to go in a little bit deeper in that later on, because verse 17 says he's the Spirit of truth. You know, and so we will look at that when we get there. But he's taking you into something deeper. Growing in the Lord. Reading as you read the Bible, as you read the Word of God, that you can read it and he takes you deeper to where than you've been before. And the third thing that happens is the Holy Spirit gives us a divine strength. The Holy Spirit gives us a divine strength. And that divine strength then is to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the kingdom of God. Trials and persecutions on behalf of the kingdom of God. When you don't have the strength, he will give you the strength. So let's be more specific concerning the work and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. I have a list of about four things here I want to share with you. And this is under helper. I've got back here, when we flip it over, it'll be under comforter, but I wanted to separate them. And this is under helper. The first one is this, to help us in our walk with God. To help us in our walk with God, to keep us on track. To help us in our walk with God, to keep us on track. It's really that conviction that the Holy Spirit puts on us when we begin to wander off the path a little bit. That little nudge, that little voice, that little check in your spirit that says, don't do that. Don't fall for that. Don't give in to that. You know what will happen if you do. It'll drag you back where you came from. He says, I don't want you to do that. You see, the Holy Spirit's job is to gently convict us, to work on us and tell us, my job is to keep you walking on the path. And I know there's times in people's lives where some things get to be so difficult that there might be this thought, this idea that, well, gee, maybe if just for a little while, I can have some CBD, or I can do this, or I can do that, you know. And I'm telling you, let the Holy Spirit work on you. Don't run to something that the world's got to offer you, you know, just because you need to get rid of stress. His job then is to convict. And if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, then it is something then that you need to be obedient to. It's a warning sign that goes up. Don't do this. Don't give in to this. Don't quit. And that's the job. That's his job. You want him to do that. And let me make sure that I make this clear as well. If you are a born-again Christian and you've asked Christ into your heart and life, the Holy Spirit is in you. You have the Holy Spirit. And that's the only requirement. You have the Holy Spirit. And so when you're going through this walk with the Lord, his job is to convict us, to keep us on track before we begin to stray. The second thing that he does as a helper is this: to help us grow in wisdom and knowledge and in the Word. To grow in wisdom and knowledge in the Word. See, all of these things go hand in hand together. You can get wisdom out of the Word. Amen. You can get knowledge out of the Word. Absolutely. But there is also wisdom that comes from serving the Lord over many years. Insights, experiences, things that you've been through. You know, Satan might throw something at you, and you might be at a point in life where, you know, I've seen this road show before. Satan's tried to do this before. Been there, done this one, Satan. You know, you gain wisdom in your walk with God. You gain knowledge in your walk with God. Some of it will come through experience. Some of it will come through the Word, but you've got to have all of them completely together. You know, and you want to grow in Christ. You want that wisdom, and you want that knowledge. And you want to be in God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14 says that the Holy Spirit teaches us spiritual things. The Holy Spirit teaches us spiritual things. And you're in a service, and you know the Holy Spirit is moving. You can sense it. There's not a verse in the Bible that says, now, when the Spirit begins to move, this is what you're going to feel. But yet, if you've served God long enough, you know what that feeling is. You know that something is going on. You can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can sense that he's moving and doing something. That's part of learning and growing in him. The third thing that happens is this. It is to help us make life decisions. The Holy Spirit helps us make life decisions and direction. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, let the peace of God have rule in your heart. Let the peace of God have rule in your heart. The term rule there in Greek means to umpire, to guide, to check, to act as a referee, as in a game. So what he's saying is if you're praying for something and you get this check in your spirit, this little something that says, no, don't go do that, and you do it anyway, you may be disobeying what the Holy Spirit's telling you. There's that little something, that check that can come in there, and the Lord, using the Holy Spirit, will say, no, I don't, not yet. I don't want that for you now. He says, let that have a rule. Let that give you peace. And when you're making decisions, do you have peace about it? Or are you just, you know, just trying to grab onto anything that kind of comes along? And I'm learning to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit like that is very important. Because I've done enough times where there was this little check in my spirit that says, don't do it. And I did it anyway. And every time I was wrong. Every time I regretted it. Every time I said, you know, the Lord told me not to do that. And I did it anyway. So there is, again, wisdom, knowledge that you and I have that comes from experience. So when the Holy Spirit gives me a check now, I listen to it. And instead of going at full speed like a bull in a china shop like I used to do when I was in my 20s and 30s, I have learned to allow God to open doors instead of me trying to kick them in. I have learned to be obedient to that still small voice that says yes or no. I have learned when the Holy Spirit says no, it's okay with me. I'm not going to miss anything. If God has something for me, he knows where I'm located, and he will open the door in his good timing. And that's where we need to come. But I'm like you. You're looking at, I'm still confessing, Mike. You're looking at a man that should have known better, but he did not. And I did it anyway. With regrets. I would rather wait on God. Be obedient to him. He will open the door when he is ready, not when I am ready. And I will step through it because I know that it's him, and I didn't go charging forward and slam up against the door and try to make something happen. And all I'm saying is that, and I should have known better because the check in my spirit was there and I did not listen to the Holy Spirit. So you let the peace of God have rule in your heart. Let it be the umpire. If it is something that God is up to, something that God is doing, and you've got peace about it, then you go with it because that's part of the job of the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean whatever you do, whatever you go is going to be perfect. Nothing's perfect on this planet, but you're going to be where God wants you to be. Number four, it is to help us, and I'm going to have this whole list, it is to give us strength. It is to help us physically, spiritually and mentally, an extra strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. An extra strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. I already read to you out of Romans 26 where the Holy Spirit knows what our weaknesses are. So if he knows that, then he knows the things that we need strength in. And what's interesting in the Bible, especially when you're reading about Paul or King David or any of them, do you know? I mean, the Holy Spirit, God works in all three of those areas. There were times when Paul was completely exhausted. You can read the whole list of things that he had gone through. He had been beaten. There was no food. He didn't have hardly any clothes. And all of these things were happening. And he says, but the Lord was with us. The Lord gave him strength. And those were for physical needs. He says, but we got through it. Then there's also the times where you would read where they would be spiritual troubles. You know, when there's a spiritual warfare that takes place, the spiritual battles that take place in people's lives. Let's see if I can find this. Oh, there it is. Here's a perfect spiritual one. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 17. Chapter 2, verse 17, Paul says, but we, brethren, have been taken away from you for a short time in the presence, but not in heart. So Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he's talking about wanting to see them, you know, eager to see your faces, with great desire. He wants to be there. Verse 18, he says, now, but therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, the Apostle Paul, time and again, he was making plans to go visit the people of Thessalonica, and they did not get pulled together. And then Paul says this in verse 18, I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul said Satan hindered us. You and I are in spiritual warfare. There are spiritual battles. The great Apostle Paul says, you know, I wanted to get there, but every time we made plans, Satan did something to mess it up. That's spiritual warfare. That is what it's saying here. He gives us the strength we need, not only physically, but spiritually. And you might be in a battle right now. You might be in a spiritual warfare right now. And it very well that you need to bind Satan and come against the enemy. And just say, wait a minute, Lord, you know, something's going on here. So he says he's got this battle is taking place. We need spiritual strength. And then also mental strength. You know, sometimes your body might be okay and your spirit might be okay in there, but your brain is shot. You remember the commercial where they would throw that egg on a frying pan when they used to do the Do Not Drug commercials? You remember that? You guys, you're too young to remember that, but we remember that. You know, they'd crack an egg, throw it in the pan, and it would start sizzling, and then they'd say, "Your brain on drugs," you know, it's cooking in the pan. There are people here today, you are mentally tired. You're mentally tired, you're shot. You don't need one more battle. You don't need one more problem. You don't need one more thing to rear its ugly head, because mentally right now you are really exhausted this morning. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, if you will let him and if you ask him, he will give you the mental strength to go through whatever it is that you need to go through. He will encourage you. One of the great passages of Scripture, and we've used it so many times in church, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, you're all familiar with Paul been given a messenger from Satan to buffet him. So, I mean, you go back and look at that, you know. Not only did Satan hinder him, he was given a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And, of course, you know that he asked the Lord three times to remove it. I don't know how come he stopped it three times. I don't stop till about 3,000 times, but that's, I guess, between me and God. But Paul did say this in verse 9 of chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. He said to me, this is God's reply, because he says, "Remove this from me," and the response back from the Lord was no. Response back from God was no, Paul. You're going to live with this. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for your weakness. For my strength," that means the Lord's strength, "is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest on me." The Holy Spirit can strengthen you physically, mentally, morally, and all of these other areas. Absolutely. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean he comes and just releases everything. You know, there are some times that God just completely heals or completely delivers or completely sets free, and the Lord does all of that. And then there are other times in my life, and using myself as an example, where I have to put on the armor of God and go into warfare, spiritual battle, and say, "Okay, Lord, obviously you're not going to get rid of this, so I need your help." And Paul says, you know, "When I became weak from this thorn in the flesh, he gave me the grace and the strength to get through it and to live with it." See, that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. So maybe today that you are here, and I do know, just in my spirit, I sense that there are people that are here today and you are mentally exhausted, not so much physically, even though you could use a break. I understand that. Spiritually, things of life have drained you. You've been drained. And now you are spiritually, mentally now wore out, and you can't take anymore. So I'm going to just stay seated where you're at, if you would bow your heads. I don't know where everybody's at today. I mean, I know now, I mean, the Spirit of God revealed to me, showed me through a word of knowledge, that there are people here that are mentally exhausted. You know, you're going to get up tomorrow morning and you're going to do your job and you're going to function. And for some of you, all you are going to do is function. But I also know that you just don't need one more battle. You don't need one more struggle. You don't need one more storm. You need the Holy Spirit of God to rise up in you and give you strength and give you strength. You know, Paul would go through shipwrecks, storms, battles. What I just read to you, God telling him, no, Paul, you got to live with this. But my grace is there. And it'll be sufficient for you. And maybe you, like Paul, you need to say, Lord, I need some strength. I need some strength. So if you're here this morning first, and you've never taken an opportunity, seized a moment to ask Christ into your life and to forgive you of your sins, I'm going to ask you, just between you and the Lord right now, say, Lord, you know, I've done it all my own way, and I'm coming to you and asking you, Lord God, forgive me of my sins. And just wash me in the blood of Jesus. I want a fresh start. I want a new beginning. I want to walk with you. If you just take a moment and do that, as soon as you do it, the Holy Spirit will enter into your life. And then, Lord, I pray for those that are here, served you for years, and yet, Lord God, they find themselves just at that cusp of, I don't know how much more I can do. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. I don't know how much longer I can take this. Every great man and woman in the Bible come to those points in their life, and by your power and grace, you strengthen them. You've made ways for them. Everything from King David to Queen Esther. And of course, throughout the New Testament with the apostles and even with Jesus himself and with Paul. Lord, we are human beings. That's all we are, just vessels in your hands. And I pray, Lord God, for each person that is here right now. I pray. Whether they are going through something right now that is spiritual, Lord God, encourage them with the armor of God and make it spiritual relief for them right now. Strengthen them. And if they are here and it's something physical, healing their bodies, like Paul, giving them the grace, Lord God, to live with whatever has to be there, if that's your will, or to heal them before they leave this place. But Lord, for the things that we don't see, the mental exhaustion, set them free, speak to their spirit. Take them to the passages of Scripture that will encourage them by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to dismiss you guys at this time. And I just want you to leave here with the presence of the Holy Spirit on you and strengthening you.